الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، in our continuation of the tafsir of Surah Ali Imran, we have actually stopped at ayah number 63, Afwan 64. And today, inshallah, we'll begin our discussion on ayah 65. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أهل الكتاب لما تحاجون في إبراهيم وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده أفلا تعقلون. ها أنتم هؤلاء حاججتم فيما لكم به علم فلم تحاجون فيما ليس لكم به علم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. إن أولى الناس بإبراهيم للذين اتبعوه وهذا النبي والذين آمنوا والله ولي المؤمنين. Interpretation of the meaning in English. O people of the scripture, why do you dispute about Ibrahim while the Torah and the Injil were not revealed till after him? Have you then no sense? Verily, you are those who have disputed about that of which you have knowledge. Why do you then dispute concerning that of which you have no knowledge? It is Allah who knows and you know not. Verily, you are those who have disputed about that of which you have no knowledge. Okay, it's the same ayah, sorry. Ibrahim, time out. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a true Muslim, Hanifa, meaning he was upon Islamic monotheism to worship none but Allah alone. And he was not of al-mushrikun. Verily, among mankind, who have the best claim to Ibrahim are those who followed him and this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who have believed, i.e. the Muslims, and Allah is the wali, he is the protector and the helper of the believers. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in commenting on these ayat, كانت الأديان كلها اليهود والنصارى والمشركون. كلها اليهود والنصارى والمشركون وكذلك المسلمون كلهم يدعون أنهم على ملة إبراهيم. وعليكم السلام. All of the religions, the Jews, the Christians, and the Mushrikun, all the idolaters and polytheists, and even the Muslims, all of them were claiming to be upon the way of Ibrahim. All of them claiming to be upon the way and the religion of Ibrahim. فأخبر الله تعالى أن أولى الناس به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتباعه وأتباع الخليل قبل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Allah informed us that the people who have the most right to Ibrahim are, first is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his followers, meaning the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the followers of Ibrahim himself before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وأما اليهود والنصارى والمشركون فإبراهيم بريء منهم ومن ولايتهم. As to the Jews and the Christians and the idolaters, then verily Ibrahim is innocent of them. He is innocent of them and he is innocent of being a helper or protector. Meaning he is not supporting what they are upon. لِأَنَّ دِينَهُ الْحَنِيفِيَّ السَّمْحَةَ الَّتِي فِيهَا الْإِيمَانُ بِجَمِيعِ الرُّسُلِ وَجَمِيعِ الْكُتُبِ وَهَذِهِ خَصِيصَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. His religion was the Hanifiyyah. The Hanifiyyah meaning to be on the path and to avoid the path of deviance. And it is the one which entails belief in all of the messengers of Allah. and all of his books, and this is a specific quality. Wa alaykum as-salam to the Muslims. And this is, by the way, a very powerful da'wah point. We can use this as a platform and as a valid evidence about the validity of Islam, wherein we say to the invitees, you bring any person of any religion other than Islam and you will find that it is inevitable for them to reject some prophet or some revelation from God. The only people who don't do that are the Muslims. So you go speak to a Jew. You tell the Jew, you believe Jesus was the Messiah? Do you believe Jesus came? He will say no. No Jesus. You believe in Muhammad? No, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will tell you, I don't believe in him. You believe in the gospel of Jesus? Nope. You believe in the Quran? Nope. Die. You go to a Christian. Now you ask him, do you believe in Moses? He will. Do you believe in the Old Testament? He will. Do you believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nope. Do you believe in the Quran? Nope. But you come to a Muslim, alaykum salam. It's not the case. Actually, there's a... remember I've told you this before, there's no harm in repeating for the new brothers. They say, of course, these are some of the stories which are, inshallah, I asked already about it, students of knowledge. It is allowed to narrate because there's a benefit in them. It is said that there was a famous TV show, right? And this TV show would host, you know, the host would actually bring up very controversial topics, and there were millions and millions of viewers and whatever. So basically, he got tired of the whole claim of the true religion of God. And everyone says we're going to the paradise. The Christians say we're the only ones going to paradise. The Jews say we're the only ones going to paradise. Muslims say the same thing. So the guy said, look, he got a Jewish rabbi, a Christian priest, and a Muslim scholar. And he brought them all on live TV. And he said, look, each one of you claims that his prophet, his book, you know, are the way to paradise, and that everyone else is wrong. And so today, we would like you to prove to our, you know, million viewers which religion is in fact the correct religion. You want to prove it now. You're all making a claim, now you need to prove. Give us evidence that supports your claim. So, who did they begin with? The Jewish rabbi. They're the oldest, right? They are the most ancient. So they said to the rabbi, Tafaddal, go ahead and prove your case to the audience. He said, no, it's okay. Let the Christian priest begin. So they told the Christian priest, go ahead, please. Explain to the viewers why you believe Christianity, the Bible, and Jesus are the, you know, the key to paradise. He said, no, it's okay. We'll just let the Muslim, you know, let the Muslim begin first. So of course the Muslim with confidence and you know, with all... just the power and the strength that Allah gave him, he began by praising Allah and sending salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, as to what follows, if believing in Moses and the Torah is the key to paradise, then we Muslims will be going right along with the Jews because we believe in the Torah, we believe in Moses. And if believing in the gospel and Jesus are the key to paradise, then we Muslims are going right along with the Christians because we also believe in the gospel and Jesus. But if believing in the Quran and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the key to paradise, we are going on our own. Because neither the Jews nor the Christians believe, and the show is over. The show is over. There's nothing else to say. There's nothing else to say. If the Jews are going, we're going with them. If the Christians are going, we're going with them. If the Muslims are going, we're going on our own. Because we believe in everything that they have been given, but they don't believe in that which we were given. And that is very, very important in da'wah. Alaykum salam. And you can, you know, I mean, you can say this to a Christian straight in his face. Do you understand that now if you were to sit with anyone else besides a Muslim, he will be debating with you whether Jesus existed or not? Do you understand that I'm the only person besides Christians in the whole world You know, following a religion who actually agrees with you on the miraculous birth, on the, you know, the purity of Mary, Jesus being, you know, a special messenger of God. I'm the only one in the whole world who agrees with you on that. No one else does. No one even believes you. But now, what do you do for us? Now, I believe in what you were given. What have you done concerning what we were given? You just rejected it without any investigation. You say the Quran is not the book of Allah. Can you prove it? You say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the messenger of Allah. Can you prove it? No Christian will be able to prove it. And once you have reached that point, you've done the job. Now they have to think after they leave. Hold on a second. Can I really prove that the Quran is not the book of God? Can I prove that Muhammad is not the messenger of God? Guess what? They can't. They can spend the rest of their lives doing research, and they will come up with, as many others have come up with, that Muhammad must be the messenger of Allah and the Quran must be the book of Allah. That's what happened to many like scientists like Maurice Bucay and Keith Moore and other scientists who studied embryology and other things that are just very complicated. And then they realize, listen man, this cannot be. No one could have known this 1400 years ago, no microscope, no nothing. This must be from God. And this is, by the way, taped, you know, with this Professor Keith Moore and others. This is taped in, you know, old videos, maybe from I don't know what year. And he's saying, you know, the Quran must be given to Muhammad from God. That's the statement of the kafir who studied this stuff and said, you know what, this could not be. No one could have known the alaqa and the nutfa and the mudgha and the whole, you know, the stages and the phases of the embryo. No one could have known this until just, you know, they invented the microscope. And that wasn't 1400 years ago. That was a few hundred years ago. So, you know, we have a very powerful position by saying, we believe in what you have been given, but you don't believe in what we were given. Even though what we were given affirms what you were given. It's not like our stuff says that you didn't get anything. No, it affirms that you got something, but that thing was distorted. If they claim otherwise, say here's a King James version of the Bible, and here's the, you know, any other version of the Bible, the Revised Standard Version, or, you know, whatever, American Standard Version. So here, bring them the Bible of the Protestants with its 66 books and the Bible of the Catholics with the 73 books. So you're saying that your book wasn't changed, so which one is the book of God? It's over. Now they can get philosophical, they can get arrogant, they can get pride, say blah 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 blah, that's fine. But in reality, in their mind, it's over. Whether they want to accept it or not, that's another discussion. But in fact, it's over. This is what you have. Allah told us that your books have been distorted. Here's the fact. Allah told us our book has been preserved. Here's the fact. What's left? Arrogance, pride, kufr, rejection. But in terms of establishing the evidence, our case is closed. وَأَمَّا دَعْوَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ فقد علم أو علم أن اليهودية والنصرانية التي هم يدعون أنهم عليها لم تؤسس إلا بعد الخليل، فكيف يحاجون في هذا الأمر الذي يعلم به كذبهم وافتراؤهم؟ عجيب. Now they claim that the Christians say that Abraham was a Christian, and the Jews claim that Abraham was a Jew, and it is known that these religions only came into existence after Ibrahim. So how do they claim that he used to be a follower of their religion when their religion didn't exist back then? That's amazing. That's like saying that people, you know, people at the time of Ibrahim were driving, you know, Toyotas. Listen, man, there was no Toyota back then. There wasn't even a car. And so when someone says that, then you automatically know that they're lying. They're lying. So when they say that the Christians, by the way, now you may not know this, or maybe some of the ex-Christians here may have not even known their religion well enough to know this, but personally from debates with some of the Christians online, I don't go on, you know, public stages debates with them because sometimes that would backfire. But through email, you will see that they will quote to you references from the Old Testament claiming that also Abraham was propagating the sonship of Jesus, and that Jesus was to be crucified, and that he would be the lamb that would be driven to the slaughter, blah, blah, blah. They actually get quotations from Ibrahim and claim that he was teaching also the Trinity, and he was teaching what they believe in today. Christians. Now the average Christian doesn't know jack. He doesn't know anything, not in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So even if you quote this, he will be able to give you nothing as references. But some of the learned Christians, then they actually use quotations from Moses and from Abraham to claim that they were actually what Christianity is today, which is what Allah is telling us. And the Jews make the same exact claim, that Abraham was a Jew in a sense as they have it today. But Abraham is what? He's the father of the Jews and the Arabs, if you want to think of it this way. Because Ismail was, he was among the Arabs. He went among the Arabs, he mixed with the Yemenis, married from the Yemenis, and this is where the progeny came from. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is from the seeds of Ismail. Who's the other one? Ishaq. Right? Isaac. He is the one that had everyone else come from him. Moses and Jesus and Joseph and Jacob, all these came from his family tree. Anyways, they were divided in this particular fashion. The only one that came from Ismail was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the other prophets of Bani Israel came actually from Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Ala kulli hal. فَهَبْ أَنَّهُمْ حَاجُوا فِي مَا لَهُمْ بِعِلْمٍ فَكَيْفَ يُحَاجُونَ فِي هَذِي الْحَالَةِ. Now, the Jews and the Christians argue concerning something that they may have knowledge about. But in this case, what in the world are they arguing about? How are they making the claim that Ibrahim was a Jew or a Christian when their religions didn't even exist at the time of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام? فَهَذَا قَبْلُ أَنْ يُنْظَرَ مَحْتَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَوْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْبُطْلَانِ يَعْلَمُهُ فَسَادُ دَعْوَاهُمْ. This is before we even investigate their actual claim, which will become clear to everyone that it is a false claim. Even from the beginning, you can tell the invalidity of this claim. Then if you actually analyze it, things will become even clearer. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَقُولَ أَوْ يُجَادِلْ فِي مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ. And this ayah is an evidence that it is not permissible for someone to argue or say that which he has no knowledge of. Very important. It's an evidence that a person does not have the right to speak or to argue concerning that which he has no knowledge of. So we don't go into these issues where we don't have any answers. Some Muslims get excited and they say, you know, I'm going to have debates and I'm going to get with the Christians and blah, blah, blah. Waalaikum salam. And they themselves don't know well what they are propagating. They go and have a debate with the Christian and they get defeated. And I've seen this with my own eyes. Muslims getting overexcited and bringing huge crowd and they're doing the whole D-Dat thing, you know. They're trying to relive the D-Dat moments, rahimahullah. And the same things and, you know, blah, blah. And the Christian defeated the Muslim. That's terrible stuff. The people leave, you know, with the idea that Christianity has something to offer. Whereas, when a Muslim debates with a Christian, I mean, there should be absolutely no competition. No competition. It's not like, you know, they were close and then the Muslims just, you know, barely came on top. No, no, no. It should be that the Christian is being, you know, smashed and he, the ground is being cleaned with him and the Muslim is, you know, flying way up there. That's how it's supposed to be if there were to be a debate. Because Allah says, بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ. Nay, but we fling with the truth against falsehood, so it demolishes it. It destroys it. And verily then it is perished. And woe to you from that which you describe with your own tongues against Allah. That's the way the debate should go. Now who was able to do that? Ahmad Didat rahimahullah. Even though we don't learn our Islam from Ahmad Didat rahimahullah, because his aqidah wasn't sound, his understanding of Islam in and of itself wasn't sound, because he had busied his life in studying the Bible. And we ask Allah to pardon us and pardon him, and to accept from him his good deeds and his jihad, which he did for the sake of Allah. But still, the truth is more beloved to us, we don't learn Islam from Ahmad Didat rahimahullah. His aqeedah wasn't that of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. His methodology wasn't that of the way of the righteous predecessors. He had some errors. But when it came to debating with the Christians, it was unbelievable, man. You listen to some of these debates, and he just embarrassed them. Whether it is Anis Shorosh or Jimmy Swaggart, or Reverend, what was that? No, the Swedish one, Pastor Stanley, that was a classic. Anyone he debated with, he came out victorious without any competition. And everyone in the crowd was pretty sure that Islam was the religion of God. But can any one of us be Ahmad Dida today? Some of us, you know, we still say, brothers, what is the ayah? And you know, we're scratching our head trying to remember the ayah. You know, what is the verse in the Bible? But now the guy would actually quote the Bible like that. He would actually tell the Christian, he would be standing there without a book in front of him. They say, open your book, you know how easy. Open your Bible. John 5:16. So the guy will make a mistake. No, that's not what it says. It says that. And you see the priest, you know, sitting and looking through his own book, he doesn't know what he's doing. And he that had it all memorized. Now he had that ability. Not that many people have that ability. So we don't go there. And even though he had that ability, the actual confrontational atmosphere used to backfire often. And it kind of, you know, pushed the Christians away. Because they're just being defeated, they're being embarrassed. And no one would like that. No one would like that. So, yani, there's pros and cons in all the whole debating. Bottom line is, don't think that this is the way to da'wah. The best way to da'wah is, as the Prophet ﷺ did, he would deliver a talk. In the beginning of his da'wah, when he got on the mountain of Safa, and he called on to the Quraishis, he gave him a lecture. If anyone has questions afterwards, they can be entertained. At times he had debates with the Christians of Najran, as we've seen earlier. But then there are etiquettes, and there, you know, we have to weigh the benefits and the harms. So, you know, don't think that this is the ultimate way for da'wah. However, if you ever are involved in such a thing, don't go there if you don't have knowledge about a particular matter. And just say, Allah will give me tawfiq. You know, you have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready for this stuff. Otherwise, for this ayah, it's not allowed for you to speak or to debate without having knowledge particular concerning that particular matter that you wish to address. وَقَوْلُهُ وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَكُلَّمَا قَوِيَ إِيمَانُ الْعَبْدِ تَوَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ بِلُطْفِهِ وَيَسَّرَهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَجَنَّبَهُ الْعُسْرَى. And the statement of Allah, and Allah is the helper and the protector of the believers. The Shaykh said, the stronger the iman, the stronger the iman of the slave, the more Allah Azza wa Jal will help him and protect him through His grace. Listen to this. The stronger the iman of the slave, the more Allah will help him and protect him through His grace. And Allah will facilitate for him facilitation, and He will keep him away from complications. Usra, anything that is complicated that doesn't go according to what is good for you. But that is dependent on the actual level of iman in the slave. The more one believes in Allah and he depends on Him, the more Allah will aid him. The weaker the iman, the less support and help one will get from Allah. So then really it goes back to us, and we shouldn't blame anyone else in these situations. Now, ayah 69, وَدَّ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُضِلُّونَكُمْ وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وقال طائفة من أهل الكتاب آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون ولا تؤمنوا إلا لمن تبع دينكم قل إن الهدى هدى الله أن يؤتى أحد مثل ما أوتيتم أو يحاجوكم عند ربكم قل إن الفضل بيد الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. ميروك, you don't have a copy? ما شاء الله عليك. I guess I'll read. طيب, A party of the people of the scripture wish to lead you astray, but they shall not lead astray anyone except themselves, and they perceive not. O people of the scripture, why do you disbelieve in the ayat of Allah, while you yourselves bear witness to their truth? O people of the scripture, why do you mix truth with falsehood and conceal the truth while you know? And a party of the people of the scripture say, believe in the morning in that which is revealed to the believers, and reject it at the end of the day so that they may turn back. And believe no one except the one who follows your religion. Say, verily, right guidance is the guidance of Allah. And do not believe that anyone can receive like that which you have received. Otherwise, they would engage you in argument before your Lord. Say, all the bounty is in the hand of Allah. He grants to whom He wills. And Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs. For His creatures' needs, all knower. There's one more ayah. He selects for His mercy whom He wills, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. Now these are dangerous ayat. The Shaykh did not elaborate much on them, so we will try to do that inshaAllah ta'ala instead. First, the Shaykh says, هَذَا مِن مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ حَيْثُ أَخْبَرَهُمْ بِمَكْرِ أَعْدَائِهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَأَنَّهُمْ مِنْ حِرْصِهِمْ عَلَىٰ إِضْلَالِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُنَوِّعُونَ الْمَكْرَاتِ الخبيثة فقال طائفة منهم آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار أي أوله وارجعوا عن دينهم آخر النهار. Now this is from the bounty of Allah upon this ummah, that He informed us about the plotting of the enemies of Islam from among the people of the book, and that they strive to mislead the believers, and they try to use various schemes, evil schemes. So Allah told us one of them is that they say to each other, look, embrace Islam in the beginning of the day and then leave Islam at the end of the day. What is the idea behind that? That you will say that I tried your religion and I wasn't happy. It was no good. So I had to leave it alone and go back to my good religion. And this was supposed to cast doubt in the hearts of the believers. When they see people coming and going, right? Then they will start to get a little shaky. So why are these people leaving Islam? Right? So this was their plot. Now, the result is what? What do we know from Islam for someone who likes to do this? See you later, buddy. You want to come in and go out? Yeah, you will go out, alright. But you go out in a very special way. You go out in such a way you will never come back. See why it's the wisdom of Allah. And any Christian or anyone who criticizes His teaching, then this is among our answers. They say, why in your religion if someone leaves Islam, you kill him? Right? If someone left Christianity, we don't kill him, we get happy. Say, come on, come to Islam. But if someone left Islam, you kill him. They say, where's the freedom of, you know, religion? Where's the freedom of blah, blah, blah? And this is a very, you know, very complicated, you know, issue. What do you say? How do you explain to them the logic behind it? Yes? Would anyone like to give it a shot before we give you some answers? They tell you the same thing about a Jew and a Christian. He's a traitor, but we don't kill him. We leave him alone. Why do you have to kill him? I mean, it's a very basic answer. Actually, this will open the door for da'wah. Once they ask this, then you want the argument already. You want the argument already, trust me. Once they ask this question, it's over. But you have to know how. Hi, Shabab. Everybody's looking at me, what? You like my glasses? Come on, man, give me some answers.
Because it's true religion and
beautiful. Beautiful. That's it. See, you know why? Because our religion is the religion of God and yours is not. That's it. You don't believe me? Let me prove it to you. Is this your issue? Is your issue why in Islam he's killed and in Christianity, Judaism, he's not killed? I'm telling you, because we have the true religion and you don't. Now if I prove that to you, then it's over. And then you say, okay, then let me prove it to you, and you go out and prove to them that Islam is the true religion of God. That doesn't take a lot of work. It's clear like the sun that Islam is the true religion of God. So the idea is, look man, it's not the same. It's not the same. Example, if the FBI, they hired a person who's supposed to work as an agent, an undercover agent, okay? And then this person came and he joined the FBI, you know, got all their secrets, and he got all the ins and outs of the business and whatever. And then he went and he kind of, you know, leaked, had this information leak onto other sources and whatever. And he caused, you know, he ruined the whole FBI by basically exposing everything they have. Okay? And in another country, there's a group called FCI, right? And they're a bunch of kids, bunch of teenagers trying to play, you know, they're trying to pretend to be an FBI. They try to pretend to be the FBI, but they're not. They're a bunch of kids playing games. And someone joined them, and then there's nothing to join, but you know, part of the game is someone was with them, and then this person eventually, you know, went and told the neighbors. You know, some you know, that the cake was, you know, was burnt when we were baking it yesterday. Some stupid information. Okay? Now do you treat these two people the same? The one that actually spied on the FBI and exposed them, he will probably be killed. And today, he will be killed not through the judge and the court. He will be killed through, you know, assassins. He'll be out. But a bunch of kids playing around, who cares? Who cares? They were playing to begin with. When the guy joined them and when he told them the cake was burnt, the whole thing was what? It was a joke. It was a joke. And you cannot come and say, wallah, because these are FBI and these are FCI, then it must be the same thing. No. If I prove to you that this is the FBI for real, and what this person did wind up ruining the politics of the United States all over the world, whereas this one made absolutely no difference, then you cannot come and say, well, this is not fair. And we should kill the guy who said that the cake was burnt. Assassin him. See, this, the whole thing was fake to begin with. So you have to treat him in this fashion. You understand the analogy here? Islam is the true religion of Allah. If we allow people to go in and out, then this will cause major, major fitna. It will be fitna for the Muslims. It will be fitna for the non-Muslims who may be interested in Islam. It will actually undermine the religion of Allah, make it like a toy. You know, like a toy store, you go in, you check out toys and you leave. No, the matter is so serious that once you're in, you're in. And for you to go out after having come in, that must mean you are among the most evil of the creation of Allah. And you don't deserve to live. Because your living is more evil than your death. You dying is only going to harm you. You living will harm maybe thousands, if not millions of people. You understand the rationale behind it. This is what we need to understand. Now, how you convey that to the Christians and the others, that's a whole other discussion. Each one will come up with his own way. But this is the idea. We have the true religion of God. You don't. If this is the true religion of God and people start playing games with it, going in and out, then this will affect the message of God, and the message of God is more valuable than the soul of a single human being. If it was to save his life because of his righteousness, then his soul is deserving to be saved. But if it is because of its wickedness, then in fact Allah has decreed that people die in all kinds of ways. And this is one of the ways He had decreed for such people. Otherwise Allah could kill everyone who leaves Islam without us being involved. Right? As soon as he leaves Islam, he will die in a car accident on the way home. Allah could do that. Allah could take revenge on his own. But Allah wanted to teach us a lesson and a creation about the seriousness of the matter of religion, and particularly Islam. If they don't like it, this is not your job to make them like it. Your job is to what? Explain it. If they still don't like it, then their problem is with Allah, not with us. When we convey this teaching, and they're not entertained, you don't have to worry about anything on the Day of Judgment. Who will have to worry? They will have to worry. Because this is from Allah, and Allah made it in their fitrah to accept this. When they go against their fitrah, against the deen of Allah, then they have deviated from the natural disposition, but you are not guilty for that. We say this is what Allah decreed. You like it, you like it. You don't like it, take a hike. Hey, ma'a salam. No, we can even give ma'a salam. Ma'a al-adab. With punishment. Because ma'a salam is with peace. And what peace will they get when they have it the other way around? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What was I saying? Yeah. فَإِنَّهُمْ إِذَا رَأَوْكُمْ رَاجِعِينَ وَهُمْ يَعْتَقِدُونَ فِيكُمْ الْعِلْمِ اسْتَرَابُوا بِدِينِهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أَنَّهُمْ رَأَوْا مَا فِيهِ مَا لَا يُعْجِبُهُمْ وَلَا يُوَافِقُ الْكُتُبُ السَّابِقَ لَمْ يَرْجِعُوا. So they said, enter into the religion, and when the people see you leaving Islam, knowing or thinking that you are people of knowledge, then they will doubt the religion of the Muslims. And they will say, had there not been something they disliked in Islam, which is contradictory to what they have in their scriptures, they would have never left the religion. وَهَذَا مَكْرُهُمْ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْفَضْلُ يَخْتَصُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is only their plot, but it is Allah Azza wa Jal who guides whomever He wills, and in His hand is the bounty whom He gives it to whomever He wills. فَقَصَّكُمْ يَا هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِمَا لَمْ يَقُصُّ بِهِ غَيْرَكُمْ. So he gave you a special bounty, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he had not given to any other nation beside you. وَلَمْ يَدْرِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمَاكِرُونَ أَنَّ دِينَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ إِذَا وَصَلَتْ حَقِيقَتُهُ إِلَى الْقُلُوبِ لَمْ يَزْدَدْ صَاحِبَهُ عَلَى طُولِ الْمَدَى إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَيَقِينًا. And they did not realize those evil plotters that the deen of Allah is so truthful that when it makes it to the heart of someone, he will only be increased in belief and certainty as he lives on. That's a true Muslim. When you become a Muslim, the more you live in Islam, the more it will make sense to you, the more you will have Iman in Allah, and the stronger your yaqeen. It is impossible for someone to truly embrace Islam wholeheartedly and then decide to leave it because of a flaw. It's impossible. The only time someone will leave Islam after embracing it is because of a sickness in the heart, because of a desire that one is following, because of some worldly preferences that they have. Otherwise, once you become a Muslim and you hear the ayat of Allah and you hear the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then you go and sit with a bunch of Christians in church, which you wouldn't do, but assuming that happened, and you listen to what they're saying in their Bible and how the priests are, would you be able to? There's no comparison. Your heart will not be able to accept anything other than the Quran, anything other than the Sunnah. If you truly believe, right, you wouldn't look for guidance elsewhere. But if you don't truly believe, then a person will continue to search, even though they had already found the truth, but they never recognized it. وَلَمْ تَزُدْهُ الشُّبَهُ إِلَّا تَمَسُّكًا بِدِينِهِ وَحَمْدًا لِلَّهِ وَثَنَاءٌ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ حَيْثُ عَلَيْهِ حَيْثُ مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ. And every doubt will do nothing except it will increase you in your adherence to Islam. It will increase you in your adherence to Islam. It will increase you in praising Allah and glorifying Him, since He had bestowed this favor upon you, the favor of guidance. وَقَوْلِهِمْ أَيُّوتَ أَحَدٌ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيتُمْ أَوْ يُحَاجُّكُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ يعني أن الذي حملهم على هذه الأعمال المنكرة الحسد والبغي وخشية الاحتجاج عليهم. That which led them to do this, the people of the book, is their envy, their transgression and rebellion, and them being afraid that you will use these as evidences against them. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, another ayah, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Many of the Jews and the Christians, would love it if they were able to return you or turn you away from your religion, from your iman, as disbelievers, because of envy which they have within themselves after the truth has become clear to them. After the truth has become clear to them. After they know the truth, then they want to, you know, make you to become kuffar again. And that reminds me of this Pastor Stanley and his debate. He was saying, look how he's trying to, you know, mislead the Muslims. He was saying, look, try it. You have nothing to lose. Next time you're supplicating, call on Jesus. No one will know. Look at the wickedness. He says, no one will know. Try it, you have nothing to lose. Imagine? Do we have something to lose? Yes. What will happen if you call on Jesus? You're done, man. He's telling us, he's telling the Muslims, no one knows, you know. Do it on your own. No one knows. You have nothing to lose. Now, of course, if I were debating him, I would have made that a point afterwards. He said, excuse me? We got nothing to lose? Well, we lose our whole religion as soon as we do that. We got everything to lose, man. We don't have no such thing as, well, if I called on Allah and He didn't give me, let me try Buddha. Maybe that would work. Crazy stuff, man. There's no such thing in Islam. But you know, that's what they want us to become kuffar. What was this Floyd? The other one that did that debated with, he did the same thing. He gave us an invitation to Christianity at the end of his debate. He said, you know, to all of you of Muslim faith, you know, it's time for you to accept Jesus and truly believe in Jesus, blah, 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 blah. So on and on and on, they want us to what? They want us to go back to Christianity so we can be like them. They don't want to see you a Muslim. It bothers them that you're a Muslim. It bothers them that you don't want to worship Jesus. It bothers them that you want to worship Allah. It bothers them in the depth of their heart. And that's why they will try to bring you back as much as they can. And those of them who are too shy to speak, they have these feelings within. But out of, you know, out of maybe respect, or out of, you know, trying to keep things cool with you, they may not expose what they conceal within. But in essence, they don't like what we are. That's why everybody hates Muslims and hates Islam in the world. Everyone wants us to leave religion. I mean, imagine this ban on niqab in France and now in Syria, in the universities in Syria, they're not allowed to wear niqab anymore. Not the teachers, not the students. And in Oman as well. I mean, it's crazy stuff, crazy stuff. So you know, if a woman walked down the street wearing a bikini, no problem. Freedom of speech, freedom of choice. But a woman wants to cover herself, take it off. No, it's not allowed. Hypocrisy, man. You see how wicked these people are? Can you imagine? Now, a woman walking down naked, no problem. They have no problem with that. She can do this in the name of Christianity, no problem with that. But a Muslim wants to cover herself, well, we have a problem. You need to take this off. You're oppressing women. You know? It's unbelievable, unbelievable double standards. These are the same people that cry about human rights and blah, blah, blah. Where are the human rights? She has the right to wear whatever she wants. You don't like it? Turn away. But they ban the niqab. They ban the burqa. But a woman walking naked, ma fi mushkila. Because they want to see more of that. You see that they see the wickedness of the kuffar? Wicked, man, wicked. Hate of Islam in their hearts. And what's most unfortunate is with all the hatred they have against us, some of us would like to follow them. Some of us, the Muslims, so happy with the kuffar. Everything they do, we must do. They look this way, we look this way. They talk this way, we'll talk that way. They celebrate the Christmas, we celebrate Mawlid. They celebrate this, we celebrate that. They have birthdays, we have birthdays. Every time they come up with something, then we want to come up with the same thing. They hate us, they're trying to get rid of us, and we're imitating their nonsense. You see how astray someone can go? When they find no pride in their religion, and they find pride in following the disbelievers, while they themselves don't, they don't want us to do that. So you know, keep your own religion. Or come to our religion. They don't want nothing in between. So Allah al-Musta'an, we should find honor and dignity in Islam and imitate the disbelievers in nothing. We don't have to imitate them in anything. Allah has sufficed us with our religion, and we praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. يرحمك الله. I believe that will be okay. Or let me do ayah number 75. It's small. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون بلى من أوفى بعهده واتقى فإن الله يحب المتقين يخبر تعالى. أوبس. Someone read ayah 75 and 76 in English, please. Loudly. Go ahead, sir, but loudly, please.
Among the people of scripture, Jews and Christians, is he who, if entrusted with a kinfar, a great amount of wealth, will readily pay it back. And among them, there is he who, if entrusted with a smaller coin, will not repay it. Unless you constantly stand demanding, because they say there is no blame on us to betray and take the properties of illiterates, Arabs. But they tell a lie against Allah while they know it. Yet, yes, whoever fulfills his pledge and fears Allah much greatly, then Allah loves those who are unfaithful.
Jazakallahu khair. يقول الشيخ يخبر تعالى عن أهل الكتاب أن منهم طائفة أمناء بحيث لو أمنته على قناطير من النقود وهي المال الكثير يؤديه إليك. Among the people of the book are those who are actually trustworthy in a sense, business sense, that if you put with them a bunch of money, a lot of money, he will actually pay you back. And you may know some of your family members, some of the people you know, even though they're Jews or Christians or whatever, they don't have any issues of this nature. You will lend them your car, he will return your car. You will leave a trust with him, he will fulfill it. And among them, ومنهم طائفة خونة يقونك في أقل القليل. Among them are those who are treacherous. They will betray you in the smallest of things. ومع هذه الخيانة الشنيعة فإنهم يتأولون بالأعذار الباطلة. And along with their betrayal, this evil betrayal, they have excuses. False excuses. What they say? ليس علينا جناح إذا خناهم واستبحنا أموالهم. There's no harm against us if we betray the illiterate Arabs. Meaning, usually the Jews, by the way, they believe that if they trick or cheat anyone other than a Jew, it's halal. It's halal for them to mistreat, and they believe that the rest of the world are like the animals which Allah created for the Jews. Anyone who's not a Jew is an animal to the Jews, to be used for their own benefit and purposes. This is the mentality of the Jews. So they say there's nothing wrong with it. It's not haram to take the money of a Muslim, right? Because it's not sacred. It's not sacred. This is among their lies. قال تعالى ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون. They say against Allah lies while they know. أن عليهم أشد الحرج. That this is totally haram, totally forbidden in their religion. فجمعوا بين الخيانة وبين احتقار العرب وبين الكذب على الله. So they brought a relation between treachery, between belittling the Arabs and lying against Allah. وهم يعلمون ذلك ليس كمن فعل ذلك جهلا وضلالا. But they know that, and they are not like those who have done that out of ignorance and misguidance. It's not like they didn't know, or they simply, you know, were led astray. They had knowledge of it, and they still went against it. And the last ayah we will deal with today, then Allah Azza wa Jal said, بَلَا أَيْلَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ كَمَا قَالُوا. Nay, the matter is not as they have said. مَنْ أَوْفَ بِعَهْدِي وَاتَّقَى أَيْقَامَ بِحُقُوقِ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقِ خَلْقِهِ فَإِنَّ هَذَا هُوَ الْمُتَّقِي وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ. Nay, the one who fulfills the rights of Allah and the rights of His creation is the one who truly fears Allah and Allah loves him. أي ومن كان بخلاف ذلك فلم يفي بعهده وعقوده التي بينه وبين الخلق ولا قام بتقوى الله فإن الله يمقته وسيجازيه على ذلك أعظم النكال أو النكال. Whereas we understand then then the one who does not fulfill the promises to the creation and the covenants between him and the creation of Allah, and nor does he establish the taqwa of Allah, then Allah hates him. And he will punish him and he will recompense him for that in the most evil way. The one who neither fears Allah, nor does he fulfill the rights of his creation. And inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy, next week inshallah we'll be dealing with ayah number 77 and onwards. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.